So, before we get started, thanks for the happy birthday, girls. I hate all of you. Luckily for me, I actually got a birthday this year. I didn't think it was going to happen because, you know, the world was supposed to end on Saturday, right? Oh, y'all didn't hear about that? No, okay. So, here's the way this is supposed to work. Like, supposedly there was supposed to be some weird inner lining of planet thing, and some other planet was supposed to, like, crash in the Earth, and all this is supposed to fulfill things that are told about in Revelation. So everybody's, like, freaking out. It was all over Fox. Here's the thing. I saw both sides of this picture backwards and forwards, and people were talking about it over and over again. I want you guys to think about something, and then we'll actually, this is like total side note, whatever, but I want you to think about something before we actually get into the message world here. What happens if the world would have ended on Saturday, other than me not having a birthday? If you're a Christian, you're in heaven. That's it. It's that simple. If the world ends, you're in heaven. If the world doesn't end, which it didn't, then we get to keep doing what we've been doing. So what is it that we have to panic about? Nothing. So instead of everybody running around thinking that the world's going to end, trying to do crazy things, if anything, we need to make sure that we're running around making sure we're telling people about Jesus so they can go to heaven with us. Everybody on board? Good? Understand? So the next time somebody says, hey, the world's going to end, and everybody starts panicking, we're going to do what? We're just going to chill. And we're going to tell people about Jesus because it's like, hey, you know what? Hey, you're right. The world's going to end. That's awesome. I'm ready to go home. So, there was my random side note. We're going to move on. What does the word community mean to you? Okay. Anybody else?
No, thank you. I think it's community, like unity.
Okay. Bunch of people that are all together. All right. So, community for me is doing life together. Okay. I think community is best done inside the context of our faith. So, like, this. Sometimes y'all scare me. Okay? Here's the deal. Normally when we talk about our relationship with Jesus, what do we talk about? It's a personal thing. It's something that we have to do, we have to take care of. I think there's an aspect of this that's got to be done inside community that we miss frequently or we avoid. So we're going to discuss that a little bit tonight because of where we're going from here forward. So we need to understand this in order to move forward, all right? So we have our personal relationship with Christ. We've got to begin to work on this community factor, okay? Because we all have a perfect personal relationship with Jesus, right? Yeah, that was a trick question. Y'all didn't get it. Let's go to Acts 2. Guess what? There's like 20 more in here. Wait, what? Bible from home. So are they going to do it next Sunday? Acts 2. All right. So because Emily had to interrupt and bring this whole thing up, I just going to tell y'all that, so not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after, okay, I've got to preach down there because Steve's leaving and he's like, hey, Aaron, you get the fun task of preaching to all the old people. So y'all need to be in service, and when we talk about the Bible, we are all going to say, please, for the love of Jesus, I really hope it's louder than that in that massive sanctuary. Somebody get Sarah a ride. That's all I need. Front row, Sarah. We'll be good. So, Acts 2, starting in verse 42. Okay? All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Did you see the word that gets repeated there? Together. Together, 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 together. This is like the beginning of Christianity. The very, very start. They're kind of giving us the idea of how this should be done together. Okay? We live today in the greatest generation of connectivity in the history of the world. We're always connected to something or someone. Okay? Let me give you an example. I have a buddy of mine. He was the quarterback of the football team my senior year in high school. All the girls loved him. He and I were pretty good friends most of the time. Then after Christmas, he became a jerk and we stopped talking. But, you know what? I know what he had for lunch yesterday. He lives 1,200 miles away. He put it on Facebook. We're not friends, really. I really didn't even like him when high school was over. He lives 1,200 miles away, but I know what he had for lunch yesterday. People post food all the time. Like, it's an obsession. Okay? So, everybody says that's weird, but the thing is, it's normal now. Like, that's just what you do. Hey, look, I'm at such and such a restaurant. I'm doing such and such. We snap just because we want to keep streaks alive. So, we'll send pictures of the floor and do something. Okay? It's this connectivity that we have and that we long for. You want me to tell you the weirdness in this picture, though? What's actually weird about this? You know what psychiatrists are saying? We're the most connected generation on the planet. And when you talk to people, we're also the most lonely in the history of the world. See? Thank you, Ivy, for actually saying that I'm not lying and making this stuff up. So somebody else actually said this. We sit there, and if I told all of you to pull up your phones and pull up your Instagram and your Snapchat, we would sit here and have a contest over who has the most likes, follows, or whatever. And yet, if I told you, I said, hey, I want you to call everybody on your list and say, let's go have lunch tomorrow. For most of you, you'd be lucky if five people showed up. But you've got 2,000 people that like you. Not really. We like to follow celebrities and stuff and pretend like we're connected to them. I've got 100 people that I follow, and if I called them tomorrow and told them that there was an emergency, I'd have 100 people at my house. Because they're actually people that I'm really connected to. Not just, hey, you know what? I have more followers than you. Nah, 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 boo, boo. I'll give you another one, funny one. So, Monday is my birthday. You know what my favorite thing to do on my birthday is? Laugh at people. Laugh at people. Yep. You know how and why? Because I will sit there on Facebook and watch as 70 people tell me happy birthday. I've never talked to them, and you know what else? They actually don't know when my birthday is. It's just Facebook gives them this cute little notification. And I just laugh at them. I'm like, okay. And what's even funnier, I do mean things. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but I'm kind of a mean person at times. The people that I actually know, like if Troy went and posted something, like I go like his. But the people that I don't ever talk to and don't have a relationship with, I don't go like theirs. I just leave it alone, and hopefully they get mad and don't do it next year. I'm just mean. But because I think it's funny and fake when people say happy birthday, and I'm like, Random thing. It's just funny. That's why I don't tell people happy birthday on Facebook. Because I'm like, it's so just fake. Yeah. See, like on Instagram, we don't get a notification. So, like, when we tell y'all happy birthday, like, that takes work. Because I have to be like, oh my goodness, when's Ivy's birthday? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I put up there. So, anyways. Inside all of this connectivity that we have, these 2,000 followers that we have across Instagram and something, all this relationship that we have, something's missing. I think that something is Jesus. That idea of we're connected across this social media platform thing, but we actually don't really have a whole lot in common to create conversation or community with. Okay, like Sarah said, it's people doing things together that all have a similar bond or like or something of that nature. Okay, so here's the deal. I've got a cute little slide that says you can have community without Christ. You guys have it now. You have friends at school that you hang out with, and y'all don't walk around talking about Jesus, right? We can be honest. This is church. Let's be honest. Sometimes we talk about Jesus, sometimes we don't. Right, most of the time we talk about the cute guy and how good his butt looks as we're walking down the street, right? I'm not quite sure what to say about that. Wow. That's not even where I was going to go, but. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you can have community. Let me get in my notes right here so I can focus for a minute until I get over what in the world just happened. I believe God's calling us to live in gospel community, where what we all have in common is not just where we grew up or what football team we cheer for. In gospel community, our commonality is that we are all sinners, desperately in need of a Savior. We believe that Christ Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, is that Savior. So in gospel community, what we have here, Jesus is our common ground. He's what we have in common. Okay? Here's the deal. I don't want you to just have community, to just do life together so that you have friends. Okay? That's a good thing, but that's not what I'm going for. Okay? I'm going for the fact that as you do community in a gospel context, you get to live life in a more abundant manner. Why would God tell us, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Oh, wait, that's not in the book, is it? What does he say? Love yourself if you love your neighbor. Okay, love your neighbor. I feel bad for you if you love yourself the way you love your neighbor, because then you don't like yourself very much.
I love myself.
Sarah,
I'm just being honest.
Sometimes I'm not sure what to do with you. Okay. For real, back on track. Okay. We're gonna deal with Sarah and her honesty later. For some of y'all, this idea of being vulnerable. What's wrong with your sock? Oh, okay. For some of y'all, this idea of being vulnerable is not something you get excited about. Okay. This is church. We're supposed to walk around like we're perfect, say the right things, do the right things, and then leave, and everybody thinks we're good. But we can't grow if we don't have people to hold us accountable, to build us up, and to be there to help us when we struggle with things. Okay? I don't stand up here and tell you guys all the stupid stuff that I did way back when and yesterday to make myself feel better. I do it because I want you to understand that if you come in and go, Aaron, I'm really struggling with drinking, got you. Totally understand what that is, what that looks like, and what you're struggling with. We're able to help each other inside this thing we call gospel community. Okay? But we've got to begin to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Okay? Everybody good? Okay. I don't know if you know this, but we're not all perfect. Okay? I am. Y'all are not. Hey, that was not funny. No, really, y'all know by now that I'm not perfect, okay? And with that, everybody's got scars. Our scars may be different, but we all have scars. And we're in community to do life together, to help each other mend those scars, okay? Annabelle's got this big, huge bandage on her leg, okay? She burned herself on a bike, on a motorcycle, not a bike, on a motorcycle, okay? There is a chance that that may scar, okay? As she begins to go through life and grow and treat it medically, hopefully that scar begins to fade and not be as noticeable. Inside Christian community, it's the same thing, okay? We can't put, like, triple antibiotic ointment or vitamin E or essential oil stuff on it. What we can do is put love, compassion, sympathy, and those things on these scars to hopefully make them not be as noticeable as we go through our daily lives. Okay? Good? Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Somewhere. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So let's look at this for a second. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another. This is like an actual process of sitting there thinking this over. Not just showing up one day and going, I think I'm going to motivate somebody today. But not about how to do it. It's like an actual process of what can I do today to motivate somebody to be better. That takes time. And it takes an actual desire to see people be better. Okay? Verse 25, it says, let us not neglect our meeting together. What does that mean? Don't not what? What does that mean? And what does that look like inside a gospel community?
Church.
Oh my gosh!
Whoa!
So then what does it say? Do, or it says, and let us not neglect church. So for those of you that are here, congratulations. If you weren't here last week, what does it say? It says, come to church. If you're going to plan on missing next week, what does it say? Come to church. So if we're supposed to be at church, what does verse 24 tell us? No. What does verse 24 say? Motivate people to what?
Good works.
Good works. And?
Love.
And? What's verse 25 say?
And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another.
Okay. So, let's go. Motivate people to what?
Come to church with love.
So, how many people went to camp? 29, thank you. Okay. How many people are here?
Not 29.
So what are we supposed to do? It's like people are learning. Okay. Here's the deal. Let's come back. Here's the thing. Some of you here are just showing up. Mom made you come. Dad made you come. Grandma made you come. You got nothing better to do. You really like some cute guy in the youth group or whatever. Here's the thing. We're glad you're here. Really and truly, we're glad you're here. But the word tells us that we're supposed to be more. It should not be our routine to come to service, show up, sit down, pretend to pay attention to me, go home, and then do nothing. It should be go home, learn, apply, and continue to do this. Okay? It's fine. If you just want to show up and sit down, it's fine. I know God's word is going to eventually make a difference. But God's asking for us to be more. He's asking for us to encourage each other in love, to do works, to come to church, to be a part of community. Okay? We want you to plug in. We want you to do things. Hey, we're going to go do go-karts. Let's do it. We're going to do praise band. Let's do it. Hey, we got youth council. Let's do it. Hey, we got media. Let's do it. Hey, we're going to do service project. Let's do it. We want you guys to plug in and be a part of what's going on here. Function inside Christian community. But we also want you to function inside Christian community in your schools, in your neighborhoods. Why are you giving me that look? Old people and baby children, and they can go to hell too. Yeah, and they can go to hell too. Or you could tell them about Jesus.
Hey,
Ivy, what does the word say about your neighbor? As? Hang on just a sec. Here is the gospel via Ivy. God said, but I don't wanna.
So
We're going to talk about that next week. I'm going to make sure it happens. Okay. Let's get back because I'm about to be late and I'm going to get in trouble. So, 1 Corinthians 12. Holy smokes. How do you say word if you don't even know where we're at? Oh, you weren't listening. 1 Corinthians 12. It's hard for you people to hear when your mouth is running. Oh, okay. 1 Corinthians 12. Here's the deal. This is going to be a fairly large section of scripture. I want you to actually pay attention to what's going on here, okay? Starting in verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? Okay. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes. The body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? In the case of our youth group, if everybody was a mouth, how would you hear anything? Oh, okay, verse 18. If our bodies have many parts and God has put each part just where he wants it, how strange a body would it be if it only had one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Who knows what your thyroid is? It's a gland in your throat. Anybody know how big it is? It's about this long. It controls like everything in your body. Okay. So, the parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are the most necessary. The parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. We're the body of Christ. We need each other. Okay? Very simple concept. Not every one of you can stand on stage and sing. You might be able to, but the rest of us would leave. That's what would happen if I stood up there and sang. That's why these five lovely ladies do it. Okay, not everybody can run the computer stuff. Not everybody can stand up here and talk about nothing for an hour. Okay? So, everybody's got a place. Everybody's got a purpose. Right? What did I just say, Sarah?
Everything has a place. And a purpose.
Okay. So, God is trying to do his work, his purpose, in people through us. Maybe not. Okay? God's trying to do his work, his purpose, in people through us. What's God's purpose? Okay. So God's purpose is to see everybody come to know Jesus. He's trying to accomplish that through who? It's us, thanks. Quit trying to tell me what I want to hear and just give me the right answer. Okay? We're God's method. I know that one's up there, goofballs. Thanks. We're God's method. We are the method that He uses to bring the gospel to the nations. How do you learn how to share the gospel with the weird drug dealer on the corner?
You post something or you buy drugs from it.
No. No. How do you learn how to do it?
You pray until God gives you help with that.
How do you think God's going to give you that answer? You think so?
Probably.
I don't. So how do you think God's going to give you the answer? What about community? No. You're telling me He's not going to tell somebody else in your church family, hey, why don't you explain this to her? Or her, or her, or her, or him. I'm making an example. With a bottle. Oh my goodness. God wants to use us to work in people's lives. Okay? In the lives of your friends, family, in the lives of your school, and in the lives of your neighborhood. We're God's method. Okay? We need community to learn how to do this better. Think about our take five time. Okay? We need community to help the next steps of this process. So, if you look around the room, you see the people that you've been placed in community with. These are the people that we need to be relying on. The people we need to be drawing closer to. This is why we need to be at church. It's hard to build a relationship with people when they don't show up, when we don't communicate. When we don't have time, that's how you build a relationship. What? Ivy, you're going to drive me crazy tonight. Okay? So, we need community to accomplish God's mission. What's God's mission? We'll go with it. We'll go with it. So, we need community to accomplish His mission. His mission to share the gospel. How have we shared the gospel this week? Not how are we, how did we? This is like a past tense. That was like a real slick transition into the take five time that y'all just... I think that's step one, but we'll go with it for now. Okay. Her mom is right. That's dumb. So then just ask her to show up and come ride go-karts with us. Yes. Hey, you don't have the talking stick anymore. Thank you. Heck yeah. Hello. Can we say big win? We created community at school to learn about Jesus. It's almost as if like somebody paid attention to what I've been saying for like the last 2 years. The teachers have different limitations. The teachers have different rules than what y'all do. They literally, let me explain something to you. They cannot stop you from doing anything.
Yes, they can.
No, they cannot.
I'm
talking about when it comes to your faith.
Religion, they can do anything.
No, they cannot. They can judge you all day long. They can't stop you from praying. They can't stop you from reading your Bible. They can't stop you from telling people about Jesus. They can't stop you from meeting together. Let's go. Go with them. The teacher will get fired. They can't do that. It's against the law. They can't. Emily cannot stand in class and go, "All right, let's pray." She can't do that. She'll get fired. But she can't stop you. You're able to do whatever it is that you want to do. If you're sitting there in class and somebody says, "Tell me who your hero is," you can say Jesus Christ. They can't say nothing. They can't stop you. I'm telling you straight up. Like, here's the deal, okay? If they tell you, "You can't pray," go to the office. Say, "Okay, let's go." Go right in the principal's office and explain what happened. They're going to call your parents. When your parents get called, tell your parents to call me. I'm going to meet them at the school with attorney in tow. And we're going to have a conversation. Because that's against the law in like 12 different manners.
Oh, yeah, because we have freedom of religion.
Yes. I have a big bad church attorney on speed dial from South Fort Worth. The Tarrant County District Attorney and Assistant District Attorney are family friends. They're not going to do anything. I don't care. I'm not worried about it. Please, let's go. I'll be happy to stand there at your school going, "Please don't touch this child because you're breaking the law," and I'll be happy to get you sued and sent to jail. Ask Emily how many times I stood in college classes getting F's on papers because I'd write about Jesus. Went right to the dean and said, "This is against the law," and I very quickly got A's. And I kept writing about Jesus just to be a jerk. She was an atheist. She said, "Stop doing this." I said, "No, ma'am." They can't stop you. In order to have... Oh, is it still my turn? It's important enough to wait. So, in order to have a school-approved club, you have to have a teacher sponsor. Okay? You know what you can do if you can't find one? Have a non-school-approved club. They can't stop you from sitting at lunch and reading your Bible or going to the library and having a little group get-together. They can't stop it. But here's the other thing I'll tell you. I don't care what anybody on campus tells you. I promise you there's at least one Christian on campus that would be happy to sponsor this deal. Yes. Can he finish? I think he said SWAT. Thanks. There's probably already one at your school. You just need to look and find out. You want me to give you another hint? How many of you went to see you at the poll this morning? See, had you been at CU at the poll this morning, you would have seen other people there who were believers like you, and even teachers who you could have conversed with about starting these clubs. Hey, I didn't ask. I said, did you go to CU at the poll, not what's your excuse for not going? I understand. I would not want to tell people I was a Christian either. Anyways. Y'all are losing and I'm done. Have a nice night. Bye-bye. Oh.
Bye.
Sarah, pray us out. You're all energized and stuff. Pray us out of here.